Sometimes it is quite incredible the particular souls in purgatory that God allows to be there that showcases His mercy. The following purgatory story gives us a great example of this. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now, this is the story of Sean na Sagart, a famous Irish priest killer. The name means John of the Priests. How we know he's in purgatory, I'll let you know at the end. I was able to visit Ballintubber Abbey. Here's some footage that I will show throughout the video so you could see this beautiful place where they have been celebrating Mass for over 1,000 years. They still celebrate Mass. They still have adoration there. An absolutely beautiful place. He's buried there. Here's his story. Born John O'Mulovney in Deru near Ballyhenny County, Mayo. He began his career as a horse thief, but was arrested and sentenced to death in Castlebar in his youth. When grand jury became aware of how his low character, they cut a deal with him in which he agreed to turn priest hunter to escape the hangman's noose. In 1709, the Penal Act demanded that Catholic priests take the oath of abjuration and recognize the Protestant Queen Anne as supreme head of the Church of England and Ireland. Any cleric that refused was sentenced to death by the Anglican-controlled judicial system. O'Mulovney was a talented rogue and excelled at the activity of hunting clergy. He received £100 for the capture of the head of an archbishop, £20 for a priest, and £10 for obtaining a hedge of a schoolteacher, and £5 for a seminarian, a priest in training. These men would then be executed if they refused to take the act of abjuration. So sometimes he would catch them dead, sometimes he would catch them alive, so it didn't really matter to him. O'Mulovney used the money to fund his heavy drinking and expensive taste. One technique used by him was to pretend to be sick and close to death. He would then call for a priest to confess his numerous sins. When a priest would arrive, O'Mulovney would grab a knife hidden under the bedclothes and attempt to capture or kill his confessor. He was a deeply unpopular individual. He murdered with steady success until he had killed all but two of the area's priests. The last two knew well who he was and lived in disguise. But O'Mulovney discovered one of the last two and killed him. He expected that the last remaining priest would attend that funeral, which he did, dressed as a woman. The priest's disguise did not fool O'Mulovney, who attacked him at the funeral. Unlike other priests who had been ambushed by someone who they thought was dying, this priest was expecting an attack and fought back. He was able to hold off O'Mulovney long enough for a homeless man known as McCann to stab him and kill him. And then he's buried at the graveyard at Ballintubber Abbey. Let me actually read to you from the last moments of his life. That summary was from Wikipedia. Listen to this. And this is the last priest. The pursued friar was really running towards the Partree Mountains. The priest hunter's shouts and oaths continued to ring in his ears until Sean himself became short-winded and began to tire. However, he was still confident of success, and his pistol frightened away any man who might think of opposing him. All unknown to the priest hunter, he was being pursued even whilst he was pursuing. John McCann had been on his way across the fields intending to join the funeral and comprehend the situation instantly. He paused for a moment, his countenance undergoing a remarkable change. Then as stealthily as he could, he dodged for an hour after hour, the hunter and the hunted. So they covered mile after mile until at last Partree Hills rose visibly from the midst. Now indeed, the friar showed visible signs of tiring. His breath came back in sobs. He was a taller man than either O'Mulovney or McCann, but slighter in build and not at all used to this sort of violent exercise. O'Mulovney made a sudden spurt, which brought him to the priest's side. "So I have you," he grinned exultantly. "And now I'll put the halter on way there." The priest had turned, hit madly at the evil, leering face, and prepared to make a desperate fight for life. They clenched, struggled violently, and fell together. The dagger, Father Burke, cried a voice. Molovny had the friar under him now, one sinewy hand grasping his victim's throat, the other in the act of being uplifted to stun him with a violent blow of the pistol butt, when McCann's shout reached his ears and so surprised him, he turned his head in astonishment to see who shouted. It was the friar's opportunity. Making a tremendous effort, he drew from his breast McCormick's dagger, thrust it with a random yet desperate force at the murderer's raised arm. His aim was truer, his strength greater than he had dared hope. Sean na Sagart gave one deep groan, and the pistol dropped harmlessly from his nerveless hand. At the same instant, almost, McCann was upon him with another blade, which he drove with force and fury into the priest hunter's side. "Murderer," he shouted in a passion. "For many a long day I've waited for such a chance as this, and mine is the hand that should stab blood-stained Sean na Sagart. My name is not McCann, but Higgins. I'm a nephew of that Father Higgins, whom you murdered at Polnathacken years ago. Ah, I see you know me, Sean Molovny." The young man helped the friar to arise at his feet. Half dazed, trembling, and weary, the young priest could only gaze down at his bleeding enemy, who in turn now on the friar, now on Higgins, fixed a dying gaze, full at first of quenchless hatred and defiance. But it was only a matter of minutes before all light faded from the glazing eyes and the features were forever still. He died there. So the story continues. So in that graveyard, the faithful are buried facing east because there's this old tradition that Catholics believe that Christ will come from the east. And so people would be buried facing east as if to say waiting for the coming, the second coming of Christ. The pastors, however, are buried there facing west because they're always facing their flock whom they are caring for, even in death. So when Sean na Sagart was taken to that graveyard, the local people hated him and they said, no, we refuse for him to be facing east or west. So they had him facing north as a sign of hopelessness. But it's possibly the case that that last priest had mercy on him as he was dying and perhaps gave him a final blessing, perhaps some sort of absolution. And one time, Aidan Bond, who's part of the Holy Souls Crusade, along with some other people, they went there to pray for the souls at that graveyard. He's buried right there, and a tree grew over his grave, and some people say that even in death, he was causing trouble. Well, that tree grew up, and it split his grave in two. I'll show you some pictures of it so you can see it. So a woman was there praying for all the souls, and she even, of course, as Catholics, we should have mercy on everyone who dies. She was praying for Sean na Sagart. And she said that a soul in purgatory appeared to her dressed in tattered clothes with long black nails. And she knew that he was in the deepest part of purgatory. And he came to her as if to appeal and ask for mercy. So even someone with such a despicable life as his priest hunter, God can, in ways unknown to us, have mercy, forgive them, and allow them to go to purgatory. Now, this all happened some 200 to 300 years ago, so he's there paying his dues. Say a prayer for him. So if there's someone in your life that you are despairing of, pray for them, because just one prayer, one act of mercy on our behalf could plead God's mercy on them, even if they don't in their life. And perhaps, just perhaps, in their last moment of life, they will grab onto that mercy and allow it to take them to salvation. Maybe not directly to heaven, obviously, but at least to purgatory. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe, like, and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.